JT live in Vegas.
Football season is finally here.
Number one, I love football.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the Raiders.
We go balls out with the Raiders.
Just win, baby.
My father used to say that the greatness of the Raiders is in its future.
I'm all in.
We go balls out with the Raiders.
Dominate, commitment to excellence.
There is unfinished business.
The best and most elite Raiders insiders right here exclusively on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Just win, baby.
Here I am, and I'm ready to get to work.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for joining us today. JT with you on a busy Wednesday. Heading to Raiders football on Friday. Silver and black open at home against the Detroit Lions. We'll talk about that. Preseason football, I don't go too early and get too heavy into it unless it's the Raiders. And it affects this town. It does affect this town, as we're brought to you by PT Sierra Gold, the SG Bar, Sean Patrick's, and all the great properties under the big umbrella of Golden Entertainment, including the best happy hour in town from 5 to 7 and midnight to 2 a.m. Stop by a PT's near you. I promise you, you'll have a great time there for everything they got lined up for the fantasy draft. A lot of different directions to go into. Our college football insider, Joe Lisi from Go From The Two, he'll join us in about 20 minutes. And then one of the great heavyweights of his era, Ernie Shavers. Remember the great heavyweight, fought Ali, fought Ken Norton, fought knocked down Larry Holmes. He's part of Nevada Boxing's Hall of Fame induction weekend, one of the celebrity boxers involved at the signing and the weekend. It's a great event run by several of my friends, Rich Murata, the president of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Truly one of the better events in Vegas if you're a boxing fan. Try to get out to this weekend. I got to miss it for Raiders, but I highly recommend everybody try to get out there. They do a great job, and they raise money for a lot of good causes that directly go to needy people and boxers in need. It's fantastic. The big breaking news today is the NCAA adopted a sweeping series of policy and rule changes today in hopes to clean up college basketball, which has been engulfed recently with an FBI investigation and a ton of corruption, I think you'd all agree, forever. I mean, college basketball, when you think about it, the first thing I think about it is the NCAA tournament, and then I think about corruption. There's always a problem in college basketball. There's a problem with academics. There's a problem with players leaving early, then coming back with no scholarship, going to the NBA, getting dropped by the NBA, having nowhere to go. I think it's been a mess overall. I really do. And this FBI investigation into agents, the effect that agents have from the AAU basketball level all the way down to kids who want to have an agent, but they haven't been allowed to have an agent until today. This is a really huge and important topic for Las Vegas. This will have sweeping effects on Las Vegas. In the summer AAU schedule, which I'll get into later on the show and a little bit later on tonight with a couple of our guests. And also UNLV. I mean, they might want to call this the UNLV rule going forward, because UNLV has been hindered with poor player evaluation, right? Just go through the list of players and McCoy and go back to some of the players that you've seen over the years who thought they were good enough to leave UNLV and go to the NBA. Either had an agent, the agent gave them a bad decision, they were undervalued or mostly overvalued, which is the key, looking at some of the players who have come through here in the last 5 years. Among the significant changes that were adopted by the NCAA Board of Governors and Division I Board of Directors, they're going to allow elite high school basketball players and recruits and college players to be represented by agents. So let's stop right there. That's okay to me. Why not? If a 12-year-old actor can have an agent and be in school, and an elite actress or musician can do this, why not a college basketball player? I've been calling for this for a long time. It allows eligible underclassmen to enter the NBA draft and return to school if they're not drafted. Bing, bing, bing. UNLV, right? This is what UNLV needs. UNLV needs to know that if one of their players over the next couple of years under Marvin Menzies is good enough to go pro and has an agent and is given that direction, they can go, and if it doesn't work and they don't get drafted, they can come back. That's it. UNLV, it affects them, and I think it's good news. The other interesting news is these younger players, these elite players, have to be evaluated by USA Basketball. So that's the United States of America, our national team. They'll be evaluated by those players for the decision going forward instead of the NBA. Don't know much about that other than the fact that USA Basketball has a job to get our team ready for the Olympics and for national play. Now, do they have enough resources to jump in and to handle this? I don't know. We'll talk to guests about this, but it's going to be a big part of USA Basketball going forward. And agents are going to have to be required to have a more rigorous certification going forward for summer amateur basketball events. Ding, 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 Las Vegas, where it is the slimiest, most disturbing thing that I've been a part of with my kids or watching other kids going into these gyms and watching these so-called agents and runners run around the Fab 48 and the Adidas 64, whatever they're called, and go from gym and be scam artists. That's it. You got to clean this up, and that will have a huge effect on Vegas. I took a flight from Raiders camp. I landed last weekend, and every airport gate had a young basketball team leaving Las Vegas after the tournament that was here. And just a bunch of kids running around, fun, bunch of 16-year-old, 15-year-old kids running around, getting Cokes and hanging out, having fun with their headset on. And they come to Vegas because Vegas is the most important place to be evaluated as a youth basketball player. I mean, LeBron James comes and they got to shut down. They got to call the fire marshal. That doesn't happen in Toledo. They don't have these games in Louisiana where anybody goes to. They come to Vegas. So I think that's going to be interesting because summer amateur basketball events are a really big deal. And they're going to impose longer postseason bans on NCAA teams that get caught, suspensions, and increased recruiting restrictions for coaches who break the rules. Now, why is that? That's because of Sean Miller, allegedly what went down at Arizona or other schools where a coach ends up getting caught doing something wrong, recruiting, something happens, and the NCAA has no balls. They slap them on the wrist, and that coach doesn't get into trouble. There's no postseason ban. My biggest takeaway from studying this information today is that with all these significant changes, coaches are going to like the fact that they're super elite players, like a Kentucky, a Duke, wherever they are, they're going to be able to get that agent, and that agent's going to be able to have the relationship with the player, and that relationship will help the player as he's in college where he's supposed to do his homework, show up on time. The player's studying the NBA. The player knows he's going to the NBA. I support having an agent. If that agent got certified, he's accredited, jumped through hoops, he's been approved by the NCAA and USA Basketball, I got to assume that that agent isn't a scumbag, right? Because I got to assume that that agent knows that if he screws up, he's going to lose all his future clients because he's going to be banned by the NBA. He's going to be banned by USA Basketball. So that's good. Since 2016, eligible underclassmen were available to enter the NBA draft, participate in the combine, and then return to school as long as they withdrew from the draft no more than 10 days after the combine. So pending the approval from the NBA and the NBA Players Association, the NCAA will now allow underclassmen to enter the draft. They can participate in the combine and then go back to school if they're not drafted. UNLV. This is great. And I think this is a great day for UNLV because Marvin Menzies, in my opinion, can go out and recruit those super, super elite one-and-done guys. Say, come to UNLV. We'll get you ready. You can have your agent. You can take a peek at the NBA, and if it doesn't work out, you can come back. The players who return would be ineligible for the NBA draft until the end of the next college basketball season, but they wouldn't lose, and they'd be able to go back and get their scholarship. The only pending little problem would be what would happen if they gave up that scholarship for another player. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And the NCAA put this out today because the Division I Committee of Infractions and NCAA, the enforcement staff, can request that an independent group review a complex case, something, again, that the NCAA has not been able to handle under their umbrella. The NCAA, when it comes to basketball, is really bad. They're supposed to be a governing body. The FBI has been involved with NCAA basketball nonstop. So basically, this was their big, big day to come down and say, hey, we think we got this right going forward. What I want to know from you here in Las Vegas, remember, this is a local show going into my national show in about 45 minutes. How does this affect UNLV? 876-1340. If you're driving around, you know more than me on this issue. If you're an attorney, if you're a basketball mom or dad, if you've been through the AAU summer season here in Las Vegas, where now we're going to have stricter rules on these agents, is this a good day for Las Vegas? 876-1340 is the number. Okay, I want to get into the NFL, where the Raiders play on Friday night against what I think is a pretty good Detroit team, but I don't know who's playing. I was on the phone today with one of the coaches. The practices have been really good and spirited. The Raider defense won practice today against Matthew Stafford, played pretty well, had some goal line stands. Everyone's been asking, why don't they do more of this? This is what John Gruden wants to do going forward. He doesn't want to get his players injured in preseason games. What he wants to do is have them go balls out at practice, the ones versus the ones of another team, so they can play at a high level under a controlled environment where they can break up plays, blow the whistle, stop and teach. You can't do that in a preseason game. And on top of that, in a preseason game, no one plays. None of the good guys play because everybody's scared to death someone's going to get hurt. So I think John Gruden is going to be doing a lot more of this down the road. Now, how does that affect us here in the Valley? Well, eventually the Raiders are going to have their training in Nevada. And the rumors are it could be anywhere from Lake Tahoe or to Reno. Wherever they end up with that location, I think that John Gruden at that time is going to have more of these type of practices with other teams that are coming in before preseason games in Las Vegas. So I like this type of practice. I don't think Derek Carr is going to play. I don't think Amari Cooper is going to play other than a series. Marshawn Lynch, I don't believe should play other than the third preseason game, right, to just get his cardio up and going. But what's cool about the Raiders this year, everybody, it's either good or bad, is that they have 40-plus new players, and they're all fighting for a job because there's a lot of jobs on the Raiders that are locked in. So I think the preseason is going to be great to evaluate this. And for those who ask me all the time, what do you like about preseason? What I like about preseason is the fact that I can watch from the sidelines young men trying to make it in the NFL. It's so cool. You might say, this game's a blowout. Derek Carr's not going to play. But no, the guys who are coming in the third quarter are fighting for jobs, and they're trying to make a play to get on film. So when they get cut, they're going to get cut by the Raiders. They can end up with another team. So Detroit is coming up on Friday. I'll be on the sidelines. You can catch that broadcast. I'll be anchoring that Fox 5 Vegas, and it's also nationally covered on NFL Network, which we're excited about that. Beth Mowins is the play-by-play voice on TV. She's from ESPN. Matt Millen, who has been fighting a rare heart disease. Matt Millen, one of the great Raiders of all time, will be in the booth, along with our newest member, Rich Gannon. Former MVP Rich Gannon is in the booth, so I'm excited about that. As you know, Brett Musburger takes over radio play-by-play. That will be Brent's first game with the Raiders with Lincoln Kennedy in the booth with him. Brent is currently up in Napa, evaluating the team ahead of the game on Friday. Hard Knocks was on last night. I thought it was fabulous. Great show. Baker Mayfield clearly having a good time talking about the first review of the show, where I don't think he played that big of a part of it. They didn't show him that much, but he'll be bigger going forward.
Didn't even know it was on tonight. I'm in the hotel, so no, I won't tape it. I'll be in bed by then.
Yeah, I don't believe any of that. He's an egomaniac. He's the number one pick overall. He bought a RV to park in the parking lot for coaches and quarterback meetings. He says he's not going to watch it on TV. On Hard Knocks, which was really cool, Hugh Jackson, and the big hook to the first episode was Hugh Jackson, former Raiders head coach. He's the head coach of Cleveland. His brother and mom died 8 days apart, and he worked through it. So that's the NFL and the football family. You're a head coach of a team, your mom dies, and you still got to work for a couple of days before you go to the service. Hugh Jackson pulled him aside and talked to Baker Mayfield about possibly showing up a little bit earlier to practice.
There's certain things that rookies have to stick to the schedule, and then certain things that Tyrod being at his level is earned. I've gotten here a lot earlier than I did that day, but, that's just something that I'm learning through this process as well. And so, yeah, I need tips of advice like that from Coach or if it's Ty or Drew or anybody.
And the fun part of that is Tyrod Taylor, who's the new quarterback of Cleveland, and we'll start. He's been showing up before anybody on the team and staying later. So he's a guy from Buffalo, took the Bills to the playoffs, if you recall, last year. He's the first one in, last one to leave. It's not Baker Mayfield, who was drafted number one overall, because I truly believe that Tyrod Taylor wants that job and wants to keep it for a while. Good news for Andrew Luck going forward. Andrew Luck is ready to play. He's ready to go, and it's exciting for him. Emotionally, he's been through a lot trying to get healthy and back on the field.
There was a time or two where I thought I would not play football again, and I didn't think it was worth playing again. And I'm so glad to have worked through that. I've received a lot of help, you know, teammates, friends, family, fresh help, and also talking to some of my contemporaries and about things that they've gone through, and them sharing and opening up about themselves was also very helpful.
I'm a huge fan of Andrew Luck. When he came out in the draft from Stanford, I thought he would be the best quarterback drafted since John Elway. Includes everybody. Aaron Rodgers, go down the list. Every quarterback. I thought that this guy, Andrew Luck, was going to be the next great player. Still can't evaluate him because of injuries and what's happened, but he's not getting any younger. He's got to get out there this year and have an impact.
I never thought I'd have this much fun playing football again. I really didn't. I remember walking out to the first practice of training camp and having butterflies like it was a football game. Like it was, you know, like it was an opening game or a playoff game. And I had to take a moment and like calm down a little bit. Thought, man, that's cool. You get to feel that again, Andrew. You get to feel those butterflies. It's like a new lease on my football life. I'm loving it.
Yeah, it is. It's a new lease. It's not a very good team. They're not very good this year. We'll talk about them and their win total going down the road here, but I think he's right back ready to go. The league needs the best players to be healthy. They really do. The league, you need Andrew Luck and J.J. Watt on the field if you're going to sell the shield in the NFL. What did we spend all last season talking about? One thing, the anthem. That was it. It was politics. Let's get back to football. Let's get these guys healthy. I can tell you one guy who's grumpy is Aaron Rodgers because he lost Jordy Nelson to the Raiders, and they haven't got him a really good wide receiver. He ripped into the young wide receivers yesterday for a bad practice.
Well, I'm getting older and grumpier. You know, I've been at this for a long time. So. And I'm tired, too. You know, we're all a little tired. So you get a little tired, the fuse gets a little shorter. And again, you know, you're in like the 14th play of a 14-play drive, and you got, you know, a low effort level and a MA. That's a little frustrating.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers is a little bit frustrating, which leads me to believe that that's where Dez Bryant should be. I've been on an island on my own with that. Dez Bryant should be with the Packers. He was a great player. He's only 29. He's out of work. Seems like the only team interested is Cleveland after he wasn't interested in the Ravens' first offer. I do not understand why Dez Bryant hasn't put a Packers helmet on. That's exactly what they need. Aaron Rodgers is in a tight window at this stage of his career to win multiple Super Bowls. He's got one. You tell me Dez Bryant wouldn't help Aaron Rodgers on 3rd and 7 with what they have there? I think it would be a really good pickup. And there's a lot of baseball. Bobby's Red Sox keep winning. Yankees had a dramatic win last night. Dodgers up in Oakland taking on the A's, which is exciting. Great crowd there as the Dodgers are trying to become an elite team. Houston is still Houston. Bryce Harper, I want to get into that a little bit later on in the show. John Paul Morosi, the great baseball insider, told me a couple of things about Bryce Harper, Las Vegas resident, or where he could end up, or the size of his contract going forward. I think it's a huge opportunity for Bryce Harper to leave the nation's capital and come west. Right? He lives in Vegas. He loves UNLV. He loves the Golden Knights. If he's playing out west, we see him more than we would see him playing with the Nationals. Nationals are playing Atlanta. These are huge games coming up here as they are trying to track them down in the National League East. So here we go. A big show. Joe Lisi, our college football insider. We're going to take a look at the Mountain West, and we're going to take a look at the ACC coming up. And then one of the great heavyweights of his era, Ernie Shavers. Oh, they sent me over a video today of Ernie Shavers' best knockouts. Wow. I forgot how powerful and unique he was. We'll have him on to talk about the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Head on out to the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. Big sponsor of the show. Great deals. Boulder Highway in Henderson. We'll be right back.
At least the nation saw tonight why we've been so successful. They saw the heart of our team. This is a team that just has incredible will to win and heart.
That's Dabo Swinney of Clemson. Welcome back, JT the Brick, Fox Sports Radio. Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com joins us, one of the best, and he gets better every time he comes on this show, College Football Insider. And Joe, I just wanted to start off with a national headline on the quarterback controversy at Alabama. Nick Saban says that Jalen Hurts' words haven't affected him, but we got a father who's involved here, a young football player, a leader and a captain on that team who's not going to be the starter anymore. How big of a controversy will that be at Alabama?
Yeah, I think it'll play out, JT, throughout the year. I mean, you're talking about a starting quarterback in Jalen Hurts that only lost two games as a starter and brought the team to back-to-back national championship appearances. But the pressure last year, when you saw what Tua Tagovailoa was able to do in that dramatic fashion and beating Georgia, a lot of public sentiment to go with Tua. He does give them the best opportunity in terms of stretching defenses vertically with his arm, but Jalen Hurts is a winner. And again, when you have a skill set where you could put pressure on opposing defenses on the perimeter with your legs, you're always an asset in the college football world. So I think it'll play out throughout the year, and I think that Mike Locksley, the offensive coordinator, will utilize Jalen Hurts in certain packages. And if Tua struggles, especially in that week one game against Louisville, expect Jalen Hurts to be under center right after that.
Do you think that it's good to have quarterback controversies? Because in college, there's a lot more mobile quarterbacks who make plays outside the pocket. So if Tua throws two interceptions, you know you're going to bring in a guy like Jalen Hurts with experience who could run and pick up first downs. I'm impressed by that, but a locker room can get divided if they're not sure who their leader is. And this Tua kid who threw the game-winning touchdown and a walk-off touchdown for a national championship, most kids who do that don't ever lose their job and become second string again.
That's a great point. I mean, here's the one thing that you have to keep in mind as well. We're not talking about, like, NFL players, professionals. We're talking about 18- and 19-year-old kids. And when you look at this as well, I mean, yes, Tua, dramatic fashion, what he was able to do and lead the team to a national championship in the fourth quarter in the overtime. But now the bullseye is on Alabama's back from the start of the year through the end of the season. Can he get it done? The one thing that you can say about Jalen Hurts, he stepped up as a freshman. He was a battle-tested quarterback, and he led his team to very difficult road wins in the SEC, something that Tua hasn't done to this point in his career. So we'll see how it plays out, but I agree with you. I think you need one leader to lead the team, especially at the collegiate level.
Joe Lisi is our guest. Joe, let's just move to the other big national topic of Urban Meyer, and as that committee takes a look, they still have over 10 days to make a decision. What are your sources telling you? It's either they're buttoning it up and trying to figure out this buyout and he's done, or maybe they're in that bunker trying to find a way to reintroduce Urban Meyer back to the fans of Columbus with some type of fine and restriction going forward.
Yeah, that's going to be the play in the scenario that we have to see unravel in Columbus. The one thing I could tell you from what I've heard is that when you look at Zach Smith's wife, ex-wife, she hasn't been contacted by the university in any capacity in terms of the investigation. So that's very interesting when you think about it, because if they are investigating the case as a whole, why hasn't she been contacted in any way? So again, I think if you're going to lean, you lean to the fact that possibly Urban Meyer will be out as head coach, but again, the next 10 days will be very crucial, especially when you see the week one game against Oregon State and who's the interim head coach in Ryan Day.
Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. Let's go to the ACC, where it's become a superpower conference with Clemson with a recent national championship, Florida State. You mentioned Louisville. There's NC State that has good players. Boston College, Syracuse, and Wake Forest are in the Atlantic. Let's start in the Atlantic. Is it a two-team race between Clemson and Florida State?
I don't think it is. I think Clemson, in my opinion, is the clear-cut favorite, head and shoulders above the rest. And you're talking about a team under Dabo Swinney, JT, that is 20-3 over the last 3 years on the road or on a neutral field site. That's an 869 winning percentage. And you're talking about a team that last year defeated Virginia Tech, Louisville, NC State, South Carolina and Miami, all on the road or on a neutral field site, by 21.2 points per game. And when you look at the defensive talent that they lose each and every year, and to put up the type of statistics that they put up, 27% third down defense, leading FBS with 46 total sacks, and holding opposing offenses to only 186 passing yards per game. Dominant effort by both Dabo Swinney and defensive coordinator Brett Venables. They are the clear-cut favorite. I don't think it's Florida State. I'll say this about the Seminoles. They lost 5 or 6 games last year in the ACC, and they lost those games by 12.4 points per game. There is a quarterback situation with James Blackman and DeAndre Francois, but defensively, major losses, including Derwin James. They were not a dominant defense in 2017, and when you look at their FBS strength of schedule for 2018, the hardest within the ACC, their combined winning percentage of their 2018 opponents, 631%. I think Florida State limps to a 7-5 overall record. The team that I like over Florida State is Louisville. Mm-hmm. I picked them at 9-3 for the upcoming year.
9-3 is a hell of a run. That's big wins as I'm looking at their schedule. Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. In the coastal section, it's Miami coming off last year. North Carolina has a few suspensions early for the sneaker gate and what's happening there. Pittsburgh pops up from time to time, and Virginia Tech and can beat someone at home. But it looks like Miami again. Miami head and shoulders to make it to the ACC championship game?
Not necessarily. Here's the one thing I look about Miami now. They dominant effort defensively with forcing turnovers, top three in turnover margin in 2017. But the one thing I look at is that you look at their road games last year, teams against Duke, North Carolina, Florida State, Pittsburgh. They were 3-1 in those games. Those opponents had a combined overall record of 17-21, and they were only able to win those games by 11.2 points per game. And you look at that third down offense under Malik Rozier, anemic. 29% conversions on third down. They're not going to win ball games in 2018 when they only convert as an offense 29%. I like Virginia Tech in the Coastal in that division. Very weak schedule, 495 winning percentage of their 2018 opponents. A lot of suspensions, but Josh Jackson is still under center. 20 touchdowns last year. I think he has a dynamic sophomore year. I think the Hokies surprise everyone for the upcoming season.
Joe, we'll get you out on this. I'm looking at those week one schedules and what's going to jump out. It seems like Michigan, Notre Dame is the power game there. And I think Michigan is better on paper going in and playing Notre Dame. What do you think of that game quickly before you go out? Because a big loss like that to Harbaugh, after all the Urban Meyer news, all the pressure's back on Michigan starting off 0-1. How do you see that game?
Yeah, Michigan is my sleeper, one of the four teams to crack the college football playoff. Yeah, Shea Patterson, former Ole Miss quarterback, comes over there. The one thing about Michigan in their five losses, they completed only 48% of their passes, 938 yards, one touchdown, six interceptions, and they only averaged 87 rushing yards per game. And you look at that defense, 26% on third down conversions, only 150 passing yards per game, and 42 total sacks. He is the difference. It starts week one. They have a 631 winning percentage of their 2018 opponents, but I think they start fast. The pressure's on, but they'll step up, not only win against Notre Dame, but go 11-1, win the Big Ten championship, and crack the college football playoffs.
How do we get all your information, Joe? Fill us in.
Yeah, they can go to my website, GoForTheTwo.com, or hit me up on Twitter, @GoForTheTwo, the number two, and they can buy my 2018 College Football Power 5 Preview on Amazon. GoForTheTwo.com, Power 5 Preview, available in paperback and ebook.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Joe.
Anytime, JT. Love the show.
Thank you. Joe Lisi. Is that guy an encyclopedia? I go from any conference, any game, and he's got really good information. GoForTheTwo.com is one of the great sites that I look at every day for college football information. Go check it out. GoForTheTwo.com. That was brought to you by SG, my bar, where I took my buddy Bobby G for lunch today after we played golf. Went to SG, had an incredible salad, unbelievable service. The SG right at the 215 and Flamingo. Go check out lunch or happy hour starting at 5. One of the great heavyweights of his era, Ernie Shavers. I'm watching his videos against Larry Holmes. He almost killed Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes got up and knocked him out. And he fought Ali as hard as anybody. Ernie Shavers, part of the great weekend for the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame coming up. Boxing, we love it. It's one of my favorite sports. You'll hear great boxers often right here on Fox. JT back with you, the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, another great class, another fantastic class going in, including Senator Harry Reid, the former Nevada senator, and a great class, including one of the hardest punching heavyweights of all time. Ernie Shavers joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Ernie, thanks for a few minutes and congratulations on this induction.
Thank you, sir. Not one of the hardest puncher.
I would agree. You know, Fred sent me over your highlight package, and for some of the people listening out there, to go to YouTube and just punch in Ernie Shaver knockouts. Ernie, when did you find that power in your life, even if it was before boxing? Take us back to your youth where you found your strength.
Well, see, I grew up on a farm. I did a lot of hard work, throwing bales of hay. I did a lot of chopping, and that developed me for my fight career. Little did I know at the time, I could punch hard. January 3rd, 1967, I walked into the gym with the gloves on. The trainer showed me how to punch, and he couldn't believe it. That's when I realized I could punch pretty good.
Yeah, you had the power early on. Was that the plan, to be a boxer early on when you were young, or were there other sports you played?
No, not at all. I had no plan to be a fighter. I was going to be a football player, and it turned to boxing. I went to the gym, trained, told me what I could do, what I could copy, turned to boxing.
When you started to develop your style, I look back at the power you had on the inside, especially the footwork and the ability to throw fast, powerful punches. Who helped you develop that? Your trainers, or was that natural ability?
Well, my trainers helped me develop. It's all natural, but they helped me develop and get all the power out of it. That's who really, it was there already. They showed me how to punch it. Turn my body to get all the power out. That's what helped me.
Ernie Shavers is our guest. When you were early in your career known as the Black Destroyer, and you had that impressive record winning 44 of your first 47 fights by knockout, what type of money were you making? What was your business model back in the day? What type of purses were you fighting for early in your career?
Well, my early career, it was first kind of small. I was just getting into the money. I didn't start making big money in the 70s. I fought all of those guys. But my purse was very small. I was just, it was a learning stage for me. So I had to go along with it for a while.
Ernie Shavers, a legendary heavyweight, joins us on Fox Sports Radio. So you fought Muhammad Ali at Madison Square Garden, September 29th, 1977. You had a record of 54-5-1 with 52 knockouts coming into that fight. Take me into the promotion of that fight. How difficult or how much fun was it promoting the fight with Muhammad Ali?
Well, it was fun. I knew Ali about three or four years before I actually fought him. And he knew I could punch, but he didn't know I could punch that hard until I fought him. So it was nice. He was good to me. I got him. That's bad about Ali. He always gave me his training camp to charge me a dime for nothing. And then he made sure I had it.
Was Muhammad Ali the greatest? And we always consider him the greatest, but when I get to Larry Holmes and your knockdown of him, who had the better chin, Muhammad Ali or Larry Holmes?
Larry Holmes had, a better chin. Larry had a better jab, too. Larry was a great fighter also. I can't say anything about Larry or Muhammad, but Larry, I think Larry had a better jab, punched harder, and he boxed a little better.
You know, when I look back, and I looked at it about a half an hour ago, your knockdown of Larry Holmes, I don't think most men would have survived that, the great heavyweights of all time. Can you take us back to that punch and what happened to Larry Holmes? Because he got up really shaky at that point in time. Did you think you finished him with that punch?
When Larry went down, I thought the fight was over. But then I seen Larry move. I said, it'll be a long night.
Is that I don't know what that feels like. Obviously, to throw a punch like that or get hit like that. So when you let that punch go, he goes down. For a split second, you're thinking, wow, I just beat Larry Holmes. But then quickly, you realize you're in for a long night.
Oh, yes, Larry. I mean, he's a very, very durable guy. Tough guy. Larry can fight. Take a good punch. He probably took a better punch than most guys. Most heavyweights I've fought against. I knew of. Took a great punch.
Ernie Shavers, as we wrap it up, tell us about knocking out Ken Norton in the first round, too, because Norton, a lot of people said, fought Ali tougher than anyone in Ali's career, and then you and your fight with him. Take us back to the Norton fight and how important that was.
Well, Ken was a good fighter, but he was afraid of punchers. See, his friend, one of his sister-in-law, some told me, Ernie, Ken is afraid of you. So I thought she was kidding at first. She said, look, if you look Ken in the eye and tell him you're going to destroy him, you put the fear of God into him. That's exactly what I did. I looked Ken right in the eye. I said, Ken, I'm going to destroy you tonight. And he put the fear of God. He came out, him a good shot, boom, went down.
Ernie Shavers, as we wrap it up, can you tell us about your life after boxing, especially when you became an ordained Christian minister? Also, you moved to England to pastor at a church there. When did faith come into your life as an athlete? Was it before you were a boxer?
Actually, before I was a boxer. I went to church at a very young and early age. My mother made sure of that. So I didn't get into the ministry full-time until after I started boxing. I acquired a little name, opened the door for me. So I've been doing a lot of ministry work. I've seen a lot of people come to the Lord. It was great.
How is life now for you? I know you sign. I see you sign here in Vegas from time to time. Fight fans love to come out. You interact with fans all the time. What are you doing in your life today, and how important is this induction to be into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame for you and your family?
It's definitely going to be great because you're in the Boxing Hall of Fame. I'm living in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Open a lot more doors for me. I mean, I'm living great now. I do a lot of signing. I get to travel a lot. Doing great, but doing better. The Hall of Fame, being next to the Hall of Fame.
It's a tremendous honor. I've been at the events in the past, and it's a gala, and it's really a great event because fans get in and they get to interact with you and then pay tribute to your great career. Ernie, this is an honor for me, growing up watching you box. A tremendous honor that you're getting into this Hall of Fame. Continued success. I hope to see you soon.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ernie Shavers, wow. I've never interviewed him, and I'm happy he could talk about his early life, the punch, Larry Holmes. That is great. You got to go look at this punch on YouTube. Just go YouTube Ernie Shavers, Larry Holmes. And in the middle of the fight, he hits him, I think in the fifth round, with a punch that would have killed most people. And Larry Holmes goes to the ground and comes up, and he is wobbling. He is all over the place, and you're like, this is done. It's over. And then Holmes comes back, and Holmes gets him later on in that fight. That's what it was back in the day. When I was growing up as a kid, and Madison Square Garden was close, and my dad would say there was a fight on TV, and it was ABC, and it was Howard Cosell, if it was Wide World of Sports. My dad was a huge sports fan, but not a massive boxing fan, mostly baseball, basketball, the Knicks, the pro sports there. But I'm happy I grew up in a household where my dad understood the magnitude of those events in the neighborhood back then when it was different. Now it's, hey, you're coming over for pay-per-view. Hey, we're going over someone's house. Let's go to a casino and watch a fight. Back there in the 70s when this sport was exploding with Muhammad Ali and you had to go watch the fight on closed circuit in a movie theater, or if you were lucky enough to see the fight on television, it was huge in this country. And that's why boxing is so important. I get asked about this all the time. What do you like better, boxing, UFC? I say, I don't have a problem with UFC and MMA. It's not my thing. It's not what I specialize in. I specialize in boxing because I've been going to fights, luckily, for my whole career. And then starting out here in 1998 at Sports Fan Radio Network with Bobby sitting across from me, I realized very early that the biggest hook in town was to go to the fights. If you interviewed boxers and you followed protocol and put in for a credential and they accepted your credential, you put the suit on and you'd go out for fight night. And I've been to over 100 championship fights, mostly here, because this whole city revolves around that. And I'm happy that boxing is still enormous. And for those who say, well, boxing's dead, I really walk away from people now. I don't even engage them anymore. Boxing's never been bigger, ever. Floyd Mayweather is the highest paid athlete ever to ever live. He's in boxing. So if you don't like Floyd, if you're not a fan, if you think boxing's down, you're wrong. Floyd Mayweather earned and banked more money. Now, I don't think he's going to have any of the money when it's all said and done, but you got to give Floyd credit the last 4 years being number one on the Forbes list, more than Cristiano Ronaldo, more than Lionel Messi, more than LeBron James. And he's a boxer. So that should put boxing ahead of everything, much higher than Conor McGregor and MMA, with all due respect. So in the last 20 years, I had an up-close seat, luckily, for Oscar De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao, and Floyd Mayweather. Those three fighters there, how can anybody say boxing's down? Boxing's not what it used to be. Are you nuts? Now, we don't have the heavyweights. Now we do, with Joshua and Wilder, and we might have a resurgence again. But those middleweights and welterweights did an incredible job of putting people in the seats and pay-per-view buys in the bank. So I think boxing is going to be as big as ever. And if you get a chance, thanks to everyone at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Great event coming up this week, and I wish them nothing but success, especially getting me Ernie Shavers to talk to. We'll wrap it up on the other side. I've done the whole show blind, Bobby. The Wi-Fi's down in the entire building. So everything's blind. You might as well come over here and just blindfold me and just keep the mic in front of me. No notes, no computers, Wi-Fi down, but we'll get it fixed. Hey, I could have a real job. There's a lot of people out there listening who have real jobs. This is fun. JT The Brick Show, brought to you by PTs. We'll wrap it up next and get you ready for Looney at the top of the hour.
I think there's a huge ceiling for Derek Carr. I think he's proven that. It's up to us as a coaching staff to improve around him, get more consistent, come up with an offense that really allows him to soar into another level.
John Gruden, who spoke to me up at camp a little over a week ago. I'll be in Oakland on Friday, off on Friday for the first preseason game. Check out the game on Fox 5 Vegas. Get used to the Raiders on television. You'll see them on TV in the preseason. You'll catch them during the regular season. And you'll catch that stadium every time you drive by it. It is growing, and it's growing quickly. They're a lot of fun. One of my good friends, Tom Blanda, who's been with the Raiders probably 20-plus years, is the stadium on-site guy for the Silver and Black, and I talked to him on a plane ride. I can't believe what they're doing, what's going to go on inside that stadium. I mean, again, a lot of this is going to be released over the next year or two, from the TV to the radio studios to what they're doing inside on game day, the torch that they're going to light in memory of Al Davis, the concerts. It's going to be incredible. What's going to happen in this town when that stadium opens? It's going to be huge. Now, will it be the greatest stadium in the world? No. L.A. is building the greatest stadium in the world, the Rams and the Chargers, which is going to be a couple of billion with a B, more expensive. But ours is going to be better because I think it's going to be a little bit smaller. It's going to have all the bells and whistles, and it's going to be in Vegas. And here's why. When you leave a Raider game in Vegas, if you're walking, Ubering, whatever you're doing, you're going to get dropped into a casino in a matter of minutes. When you're in L.A. and you get out of the game, you're in Inglewood. You're in the hood. And there's enough traffic to just shut down L.A. And that's not going to be fun, leaving a football game and getting on the 101 or the 5 or one of the freeways trying to get out of here. In Vegas, and again, traffic, I don't know what the traffic's going to be like. I don't know what the egress and the regress is going to be like then. But I can tell you this, it's going to be fun knowing that after a game on a Sunday, around, I don't know, say 5, after a game, you have your family or your buddies, and you say, hey, you got anything to do? Let's go get a cocktail. Let's go get dinner on the Strip and know that you could pull that off. I cannot wait, but it's 2 years away, so I am waiting. Derek Carr's on the cover of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, a great cover story today by Gilbert Manzano on Carr throwing his first pick, and he's not mad and how much fun he's having in that joint practice with Matthew Stafford. It's on Carr this year. You know, Mac's not in camp. Carr's the leader. Carr's completely healthy. He's not spooked. He's got John Gruden. Gruden's going to make him better, but Carr's got to come into the season. He's got to win games. And that first game of the year, that matchup on Monday Night Football, Jared Goff versus Derek Carr, I'll take Carr all day long over Jared Goff. Goff was excellent last year. He played up. He didn't bust out like some people thought. But I think Carr at home on Monday Night Football and Gruden's first game back in the black hole. It's going to be one of the best games of the year in regards to hype. We'll know a lot about the Raiders by then, and clearly what's going to happen with the Rams with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack still holding out. Le'Veon Bell holding out for Pittsburgh. If you're not getting paid, why practice in August, right? Thanks to Bobby who put the show together. Joe Lisi, the great Ernie Shavers. Really enjoyed that. Hope you did. Head on out to the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame coming up. A great event. Details at the NevadaBoxingHallOfFame.com. Tonight, Mary Kay Cabot joins us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, now Cleveland.com, on the rumors of Dez Bryant to the Browns. Robert Klemko from Sports Illustrated will check in. Sam Vecenie from The Athletic, and Brady Cannon with his PGA picks. Hey, it's JT, and it's always good to know someone that can hook you up with a deal, right? Right now, I can do that for you. You heard me talk about MyPillow for months. My sleep's improved dramatically with MyPillow. It really changed my life, and now I want you to feel how great MyPillow feels, so I'm hooking you up. If you go to MyPillow.com right now, you can get the four-pillow special at the same price of a single MyPillow. How? Go to MyPillow.com, enter the discount code BRICK, and click on the four-pack special. You'll get two MyPillow premium pillows, like the ones I sleep on every single night, and two go-anywhere pillows. What's a go-anywhere pillow? It's travel-sized. It's a pillow that you're allowed to bring to the same places, but it gives you the same comfort anywhere. It's 100% machine washable and dryable, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. MyPillow.com, four-pack special. The code is BRICK, or call 800-945-7379.
When something goes wrong with your air conditioning, you only have three options, and doing nothing isn't one of them. So one, you can mess with the problem yourself. Good luck with that. Two, you can call some inexperienced smaller AC shop you know nothing about. Or three, you can call the guys you've known for a long time. Yes Air Conditioning. They're run by a bunch of slightly obsessive neat freaks who will do the job so well you may never see them again. When AC problems arise, the Yes Man can. Call Yes Air Conditioning, 888-4937, or go online to theyesmancan.com. License 71246.
Sign up today for a new William Hill Mobile Sports account and you can earn up to a $50 bonus. The William Hill Mobile Sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live in-play betting on football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, and tennis. You can fund your mobile account at over 350 locations, including PT's, Sierra Gold, SG Bar, Sean Patrick's Pub, and 7-Elevens throughout Nevada. For more information, visit williamhill.us. William Hill, the home of betting.
Hey, it's Chris Fox. You know, with four drivers in our household, we've had more than our share of dings, dents, and scratches on the bodies and bumpers of all of our cars. And we've relied on Dent Pro for years. The best thing is, they send somebody to you and fix it right on the spot. Dent Pro will send out a licensed certified tech, and their prices start at just $99 a dent. And if you have more than one dent, they'll give you a discount. Visit DentProLasVegas.com or call 702-368-DENT. That's 368-3368. Dent Pro Las Vegas. Call them today.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-925-5048 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-925-5048 to take your call now. Call 800-925-5048. That's 800-925-5048. Again, 800-925-5048.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just gonna keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, is home to national sports talk show host J.T. the Brick from 5 till 8 p.m. We're KRLV Las Vegas.